Colossians chapter 3. Would you go there with me in the Word of God? Colossians chapter number 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now also ye have put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Use the Bible like only you can. If somebody doesn't know Jesus, might today be the day before it's everlastingly too late. Bind the devil, keep him from interfering, do a great work in the service that only you can do and only you receive the glory for. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The book of Colossians, tucked away towards the end of the Old Testament, of the New Testament rather, in your Bible, written by the Apostle Paul. And ironically, Paul wrote this letter to the church at Colossae from prison. Who's thinking about anybody else when they're in prison? I'll tell you, somebody that's walking with God. Colossians was a church that began excited about the things of God. These folks had gotten saved. They'd united as a body of Christ. But Paul had heard from one of the leaders in that church that false teaching had crept in. Can I remind you that the devil is no dummy? He's full of wisdom. He's smarter than anyone in the building. I said the devil is smarter than anyone in the building. He's using intellect. He's using his mind. He was using that in the church at Colossae to draw them away from the truth. One of the prevailing teachings in that church that had crept in that day was the teaching of Gnosticism. It comes from the root word gnosis. It means knowledge. There was a group of people that believed in higher knowledge. They believed that everything that was matter was evil. And they believed that the only way that mankind that had an evil body could attain the knowledge of God is to live according to these teachings of Gnosticism. They believed that God was so high up and that man was so evil that God created an angel, that created another angel, that created another angel, that created another angel, that created another angel. And eventually those angels got so low that man could actually understand God. They did not believe that God could be understood without man-made teachings. So they were teaching this and people were buying into it. As a result of man-made teachings, there were people that were living rigid lives. They thought they had to eat a certain diet. They thought they had to pray to certain angels. They thought they had to keep certain rules and regulations. And they felt like living by these strict regulations would allow them somehow one day to attain to that knowledge. Others lived however they wanted to live. They lived sensually. They lived sexually. They defiled themselves. They lived according to no rules and no standards, because after all, the body is wicked and it's going to live that way anyway. Can you imagine how disappointed Paul must have been when in prison he found out that a group of people that once believed God for what he said was now practicing Gnosticism, didn't believe that anything that was matter was anything but evil. The man's spirit was good, man's body was evil. And watch this now, this man Jesus was one of these creations of God. And because he had a body, he could not be God. So he was evil too, in one of these created beings, and he wasn't actually the Son of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's nonsense. This doctrine attacked Christ. It did not believe that God could be with us. It felt that God was far from us, that God was distant from us, that Satan was attacking us, and that we were constantly threatened by demons. So we must live according to man's religion to hopefully one day attain to the knowledge of God. And Paul heard about this from jail. And so he picked up his pen and he wrote a letter to this church that was off on doctrine, therefore off on living, therefore off on everything that pertained to what God had said. And he wrote to them, and instead of spending all his time addressing Gnosticism, he wrote to them in Colossians chapter 1 about somebody by the name of Jesus Christ. He said, let me tell you about Jesus. He was more than just a man. He was God and man at the same time. Let me tell you about Jesus. He is not someone that was created. He is the person that did the creating. So let me tell you about Jesus. He was not in some succession of emanations that came from God all the way down to man. He's not somewhere in between man. He's not someone that's in competition with other leaders in society. He's not a religious person that people look up to. He said in Colossians chapter 1, he's the image of God. Now listen, I want to dive into a lot of these words today and take up too much of your time. But the word image in the Greek is the word icon. Everybody say icon. How many got icons on your computer? Now, when you click on an icon on your computer, that icon takes you to a program. That icon represents that program. The icon and the program are one in the same, precise in every standpoint. Paul said, let me tell you about Jesus. When you see God and you see Jesus, you see God and Jesus is his icon. In other words, when you get on your computer, you click on an icon, that icon takes you to that very program. Hey, Paul said, when you look at Jesus, you're not looking at another God. You're not looking at another person. When you see Jesus, you're looking at the icon of Almighty God. When you click on Jesus, guess who you get? You get God. He is the beginning. He's the firstborn of all creation. Colossians chapter 1. In all things he might have all the preeminence. Watch this now, Colossians chapter 1. He's first in rank. He's first in responsibility. He's first in rule. He's first in reign. He's first over creation. He's first over the creature. He's first when it comes to condescension. And he's first when it comes to the canon of scripture. He's first when it comes to conversion. And he's the head of the church. Not the pastor, not the deacons, not the members, not the government. When it comes to the head of the church, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the firstborn of all creation. He got up out of the grave. In Colossians chapter 2, he said, you don't need diets. You don't need restrictions. You don't need rules and regulations to get victory over your sin. He said, that same Jesus that was born of a virgin, that was incarnated, that was robed in flesh, that left the portals of glory, the God-man that came to planet Earth and walked on it for 33 and a half years, when he walked up Calvary's hill and when they nailed him to the cross, guess what he did? They nailed him to the cross, but he took your sins and he nailed your sins to the cross. He blot out all of your transgressions. He did away with all of your debt. He said, when you need to come back to God, you won't go through religion. You won't go through restrictions. You won't go through rules. You won't go through regulations. The only way to get to God is to go through his son, Jesus Christ. Now let me say something to you. Every single man, woman, boy, or girl is born in iniquity and shapen in sin. Romans chapter 3, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 5 tells us by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. I don't care what religion tells you. I don't care what the world tells you. The reason why man is a sinner is because man's representative Adam sinned. God took one man and created him and put him in the garden and said you can eat off every tree but the tree of knowledge and good and evil. You can't eat off of it or you will die. Adam ate off that tree, and every single person that has been born was born a sinner. Ladies and gentlemen, we all died in Adam. Adam represented the human race, and we all died in Adam. But can I tell you something? When Jesus came and he died on the cross, because we all died in Adam, if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we all live in Jesus Christ. If you were here at Sunrise Service this morning, you were tuning in, we talked about the tomb that Peter went to see. The tomb tomb that John went to see, the tomb that Mary went to see. This morning we reminded ourselves that when they got to that tomb, they saw a moved closure. The stone was rolled away. When they got to that tomb, they saw a missing corpse. There was no body there. When they got to that tomb, they saw mysterious clothes. There were clothes there, but the man had gotten up out the clothes. When they got to the tomb, they saw a meticulous cloth. There was a napkin folded on the side. Can you imagine? Jesus was buried with a napkin tied over his head. When he rose again, he walked out of the clothes, took the napkin off his head, neatly tied it up on the side to show us when a servant would see the master's napkin neatly tied, that he wasn't done with his meal and he wasn't finished and he was coming back. Aren't you glad he got up out the grave, but he said one day, I'm coming back. And he rose again with resurrection power. Now here's what Paul is saying. If we all died in Adam and we all can live in Christ. Now understand something. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you agree with the finished work of Christ on the cross. When he died, listen to me, every single one of us should have died with him. But when he rose again, guess what Paul says? When he rose, we rose again with him. Now some of you are thinking, how can I rise again with Christ? You got to understand, when you died with Adam, when you were born with a dead spirit. In it dwelleth no good thing. It's lost, it's doomed, it's headed to a devil's hell. Watch this now. When Jesus saves you, the Holy Ghost of God comes inside of your dead spirit, quickens you, makes you alive. Now watch this now. When he died, he took care of our sin. But when he rose again, he gave us a new life to live in him. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. It was not enough that he just died. If he died and stayed dead, what would you and I have to live for? I want to tell you what resurrection is all about. I want to tell you what Easter Sunday is all about. A man that was beaten, bruised, belittled, and brutalized, and thrown in a borrowed tomb, laughed at and mocked. They made up lies to say if we couldn't find him that someone had taken his body. 3 days later, while we celebrate Easter, that man got up out of the grave. And for every man, woman, boy, or girl that puts your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, listen what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3. You not only celebrate Easter historically because Jesus rose again, but when you get saved, you celebrate Easter practically. In other words, you don't just talk about when he got out the grave 2,000 years ago. When you get saved, when Jesus rose from the grave, if you get saved, listen to me now, you are risen with Christ. I want to talk about that this morning because I think sometimes we spend so much time talking about what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. And I want to tell you something about this Bible. This Bible is more than just a book of history. This Bible is a book of practicality. I'm glad that the lions didn't bite Daniel. I'm glad that the fire didn't burn Shadrach. I'm glad that Goliath didn't beat David. I'm glad that Jeremiah didn't stay locked up. I'm glad that Lazarus got out of the grave. I'm glad that the rich man found out that he could not go past Jesus and that Lazarus was taken into heaven into the bosom of Abraham. I'm glad that lame men walked. I'm glad that mute men talked. I'm glad that deaf men could hear. I'm glad that blind men could see. I'm glad that withered hands were restored. I'm glad that lepers were cleansed. I'm glad that debtors were forgiven. I'm glad that the raging storm was calmed. I'm glad that the woman with an issue of blood touched the hem of his garment and she was whole. I'm glad that demons had to flee. I'm glad that sickness had to heal. I'm glad that water turned to wine. I'm glad that a little boy's lunch fed 5,000. But if that's all the Bible is, it's nothing more than another history book. I'll tell you what makes the Bible so good. That the same God that healed that lame man, healed that deaf man, healed that blind man, the lions didn't bite Daniel. But if I follow my Savior, them lions that are trying to bite me every day, they won't bite me either. The giants in my life won't beat me like Goliath didn't beat David. This Bible is alive. Christ didn't just raise so we can say it for the history books. Christ rose so that every single day in your life, you can have power over sin, power over the devil, power over your generational curses, power over your addictions. In Christ, you have risen. Risen with Christ. Now, let me give you this outline quickly. I'm tired. Are you risen with Christ? Well, Jesus rose from the dead. Well, what did you do? I'm tired of seeing Christian people that serve a risen Savior but are living a dead life. It's about time resurrection power showed up in your living, showed up in your talking, showed up in your acting, showed up in your social media. If you then be risen with Christ, it ought to show up more than 2 times a year. It ought to show up and just we show our faces in church. Thank God for church. Thank God. Let me tell you about my Jesus. But when I leave here, there's a world that needs to see Jesus. Listen, Ephesians teaches us that we've been raised up together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians tells us the best thing for a Christian is to be in Christ. But Paul comes in Colossians and says, Christianity is not just about the fact you're in Christ, but Christianity is about the fact that Christ is in you. The hope of glory. How in the world can this man get up out of the grave? How in the world can this man beat the devil? How in the world can this man nail my sins to the cross? And I can't quit lying, and I can't quit cheating, and I can't quit smoking and drinking and partying. Let me tell you something. Christ is bigger than a shout out before you get an award. He's bigger than a post on social media. He is in you, the hope of glory. And if you are risen with Christ, somebody besides you ought to know. Now, if you're risen with Christ, here's the outline, a responsible pursuit. If you be risen with Christ, look at chapter 3, verse number 1. Seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things which are above. Listen to me. If I'm risen with Christ, let's run the test today. I'll have heavenly aspirations and holy affections. Listen to me. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Listen to me. If you're risen with Christ, you ought to care more about the things in heaven than you care about the things on earth. I said, if you're risen with Christ, you ought to care more about the things in heaven than you do about the things on earth. Thank God for technology. Thank God for money. Thank God for food. Thank God for riches. Thank God for fortune. If you say you hate money, something's wrong with you. Listen to me. The Bible never said there's something wrong with having money. There's something wrong when money has you. Heavenly aspirations, holy affections, set your affections on things which are above. He says, put your mind on things that are above. I'll tell you what's wrong with the average Christian. Our minds are on these earthly things, the things that won't last, the things that won't matter. You'll never take your car. You'll never take your house. You'll never take your bank with you. Set your affections on things that are above. Listen to me. There's more to life than what happens on this earth. There's one day we're going to be with God in the presence of Jesus forever. Listen, if you be risen with Christ, be responsible enough to get your priorities in the right place. Listen to me. I know that money's funny. I know that gas is high. I know that chicken wings are more expensive. Listen, everything's more expensive. But ladies and gentlemen, let's not get depressed about that. If you live to be 102 like my granddaddy did, that's nothing compared to where you're going to spend eternity. Where I'm going, listen to me, it's so wealthy up there that God uses gold for the asphalt on the ground. Let me tell you something. It's so wealthy up there that there are no lights. Jesus lights up the place. If I'm going to live in heaven for eternity, then while I'm on earth, I ought to act like I'm going there. I must have a responsible pursuit. I must have a recognized position. Look at verse number 3. Ye are dead. Turn to the person beside you and say, ye are dead. And I know what you're thinking. How in the world am I here then? Listen to me. Here's my position in Christ. Watch this now. This flesh that I was born with, when Jesus died, it died with him. Now, let me tell you about your flesh. Your flesh is your wicked, sinful nature. How many parents in the building are convinced that it doesn't take long to learn after our children are born, they have a flesh? Mama don't have to teach him how to fight, don't have to teach him how to sass, don't have to teach him how to get stiff, don't have to teach him. Have you ever sat down and said to your children, now this is how you roll your eyes. Now this is how you talk back to your parents. Have you ever gone over a class to teach your, now this is how you don't tell the truth. No. You know why you ought to teach your children how to lie? Because lying is in them. You say, why is lying in my children? Because lying's in their mama and daddy. Amen? You have a flesh. But listen, here's what Paul said. When that flesh found out about a man named Jesus, that flesh needs to die. I have a pronounced reality. I have a placed residence. My life is hid in him. He has a prospective return. He's, listen to me, this life that I have right now, he's coming back. Listen to me. How many believe Jesus is coming back one day? Listen for the trumpet that's going to sound. Do you realize we're not going to live here forever? I know what's going on in Ukraine. I know what's going on in Russia. And by the way, I know what's going on in America. We may not be shooting bombs at each other, but there's a spiritual warfare that's going on right here in America over America. marriage, over morality, over righteousness, over holiness. And we're right in the middle of it. But I want to tell you something. Lift your head up, Christian. One day we're not going to fight anymore. One day we're going to ever live with the Lord. That's for the Christian who's risen with Christ. Now, number three, if you're risen with Christ, you have a recognized position. You ought to have a responsible pursuit. Risen with Christ demands a radical process. Now look up here with me, everyone. If you're risen with Christ, it's time to get radical. I meet radical people all the time. I meet radical political people. I meet radical sports people. I meet radical foodies. You know what a foodie is? Someone that's radical about their food. I meet radical musicians. I rarely meet radical Christians. Here's what Paul's saying. You can't get in on the life of Jesus Christ and do nothing in the life you live on earth. So what is this radical process? Executed, watch this now. Here's the radical process. Executed carnality. Look at verse number 5. Mortify. Everybody say the word mortify. It means to put to death. Mortify therefore the members of your body which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Here's what Paul's. Look at me. If you're risen with Christ, it's time to put to death sexual sins. Now, Pastor, I didn't come to Easter to hear about this. You came to the wrong place. Well, watch this now. I can't stay pure. If you're a Christian, resurrection power lives. Watch this now. The power lives in you. It's up to you whether or not you put that stuff to death. Don't tell me I've been risen with Christ, but I'm sleeping around. Don't get quiet on me. I've been living with Christ and I got a runaway thought life. I've been risen with Christ, but I can't get victory over pornography. I've been risen with Christ. I'm not touching, but ain't nothing wrong with lusting. Have you read Matthew chapter 5? You commit adultery in your heart. You committed it already. It's about time on Easter. Some people say, if I'm going to celebrate the fact that Jesus got up out the grave tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up and click on something besides impure stuff. Executed. Carnality. Covetousness, which is idolatry. I won't spend much time on this, but here's what God said. When you spend time in your life wanting stuff that other people have that's not yours, you are worshiping an idol. Listen, if Jesus is alive, go home today and say, whatever's in my bank account, thank God for it. Look in the mirror and say, whatever I look like, thank God for it. Listen, if you're here today and God made you black, be glad you're black. God made you white, be glad you're white. God made you yellow, be glad you're yellow. He didn't make a mistake. Listen to me. If he made you a man, be glad you're a man. If he made you a woman, be glad you're a woman. Listen to me. You can say what you want to say. Sins of this world, gender problems and all that. Listen, it's rooted in covetousness. When you wake up to the reality that the God that made me knew what he was doing, you'll be glad you are who he made you. Expelled corruption. I said expelled corruption. Look at verse 8. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. If you be risen with Christ, stop going off on people. If you be risen with Christ, stop having unresolved bitterness. If you be risen with Christ, stop saying things that are inappropriate. If you be risen with Christ, stop calling your profanity French. Listen to me. I want to find somebody that does more on Easter than buy a new outfit, but changes their vocabulary. Come on now. He got up out the grave. He can't clean up my mouth. Preach, Pastor. Embraced Christ-likeness. If you're going to be a Christian that puts off all that stuff, guess what? Then you're going to have to put on something. By the way, I didn't cover verse number 9. I'm hastening. But he said, lie not one to another. How many of you know some lying Christians? I would ask, how many of you lie? But I don't want to do that because that'll add another lie to the list. I know he don't think I'm supposed to raise my hand and admit I'm lying. I may lie again, but it's better than everybody know I'm a liar. Very few liars that people don't know they're liars. Embrace Christ's likeness. Look at verse 10. Have put on the new man. How many of you glad God gives us a new man? Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Listen to me. The new man. I'm glad there's a new man. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are passed away. Hey, listen to me. Jesus, when Jesus saves you with resurrection power, he wants you to strip off that clothing that you had before you got saved and say, God, now it's time for me to put on a new man. If I'm in Christ, if Christ is in me, my talking ought to sound like Jesus. My walking ought to look like Jesus. My attitude ought to seem like Jesus. My behavior ought to resemble Jesus. If he lives inside of me, everybody ought to know. And lastly, there's reliable power, and I'm done. This is my favorite part of the text. Have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after image of him that created him. Now look at verse number 11. Where there is neither. This reliable resurrection power, number one, gives us eliminated divisions. We live in a world that wants to put everybody in a category. Look at me, Christian. The world wants us divided. You can't like this person if this person like that, and you can't like this person, and all of us that are like need to be together. Listen to me. If you think you need to be like people with people that are only like you, you're not going to have a good time in heaven. John said a multitude of every kindred and every tribe. Heaven's going to be diverse. Look at the divisions that Christ's power eliminates. Racial citizenship. Notice what he said in verse number 11. There is neither Greek nor Jew. Listen how the racial citizenship was divided in the Bible. You were a Jew or a Gentile. You were either an Israelite or you were a Gentile. Everything that wasn't a Jew was a Gentile. Why? Because God personally dealt through the nation of Israel. And there was a great division between Jew and Gentile. Here's what Paul says. When you get in Christ, there's no such thing as racial citizenship. Notice religious creed. He said uncircumcision or circumcision. Circumcision was a sign. The Jews were circumcised, not just to say we went through all of this painful experience, but circumcision was a mark physically that identified them with God spiritually. Here's what Paul says. When you get in Christ, there is no religious creed. It doesn't matter which direction you pray, whether you pray to the east or pray to the west, or whether you've been baptized in this water or that water, or whether you're a member of this church or that church. Listen to me. That doesn't matter. If you're in Christ, there is no religious creed. Notice relative culture. He said barbarian or Scythian. Listen to me. Whether you're in a culture that is civilized or you're in a culture that is wild, he says it doesn't matter. And then your registered condition, whether you were bond or free. Some people were slaves at that time and some people were not slaves. Here's what Paul says. When you get in Christ, Christ eliminates all of those divisions. Why? Because the eliminated divisions are met by an efficient deliverer. Christ is all and in all. If you get nothing from the message today, I want you to get this. We're living in a world that looks like a world full of blacks and whites and people that have never committed a crime and some people that have committed a crime and some people that are liars and some people tell the truth and some people that are rich and some people that are poor and some people that are from this country and some people that are from another country and some people of this civilization and some people are not of another civilization. But Paul said, let me tell you about this man named Jesus. That man that hung on the cross, that man that died was buried and rose again. He said, I want to tell you the first thing about him. He is all. Watch this now. Everybody say, Christ is all. What do you mean he's all? He's all powerful. That means he can do anything. He's all knowing. That means he knows everything. He's almighty. That means he has all strength. He's all places. That means he's everywhere at the same time. He's altogether lovely. He's all good and not bad. He's always there for us. He's always on time. Christ is all. He's the wellspring of wisdom, the doorway of deliverance, the pathway of peace, the highway of holiness, the gateway of glory. glory, the master of the mighty, the head of the heroes, the leader of legislators, the overcomer of overseer of overcomers, the governor of governors, the prince of princes, the king of kings, and the lord of lords. He's the head of the church. He's the ruler of mankind. He's the creator of the universe. He's the giver of life and the sustainer of life. He is the creator and the receiver of creation. Listen to me. He's all. But then Paul says he's in all. What do you mean? He's in every drug dealer that gets saved. He's in every nationality that gets saved. He's in every liar that gets saved. He's in every cheater that gets saved. Listen to me. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what you've gone through. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what generational curses are in your family. When you get in Christ, he's all you need. You don't need Christ plus baptism, Christ plus church membership, Christ plus good works. You need Christ plus nothing. When you add to Jesus, you delete who he is. When you add to Jesus, you insult his sufficiency. I'm glad that the God that got up out the grave, he didn't just get out the grave so he could be on a movie. He didn't just get up out the grave so we could celebrate it on a calendar. He didn't just get up out the grave so we could just tell people about it in song. He got up out the grave so that no sin can control me. No devil can run my life. Nobody can have me back. When I'm in Christ, he's all and in all. If you want to know my status today, let's stop talking about what color we are, where we're from, what team we root for. Forget about all that. If you're saved today, the greatest status you can tell somebody on Easter is this: I am risen with Christ. He rose. He rose. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. It's time that resurrection power showed up in our everyday lives. Now, let's live for God when Easter's over. Let's live for God when April's over. Come on. Let's live for God when church is over. Let's live for God when nobody's watching. Kids, live for God in school, public or private. Go to work tomorrow and live for God. Live for God in front of your family. Because if ye be risen with Christ, it shouldn't just show up one day when we're in heaven with Christ. It should show up today while Christ is in us on earth. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want you to listen very carefully today. For all of those who are candidates for baptism, this would be a great time for you to just come, and our workers will take good care of you. I wonder how many say, Pastor, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know that. I know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I have Bible reasons to prove it. Would you raise your hand? Put your hands down. How many say, Pastor, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. But I need that power to show up in my life, in my everyday life. Please help me. If that's your prayer, would you raise your hand? Now, listen, listen. Put your hands down. Listen. Your flesh died in Christ positionally, but that doesn't mean you have no responsibility. It's up to you to take the life of Christ that lives in you and use it to put to death the flesh. That means you got to get up every day and read this Bible. Walk with God in prayer. You got to live for God. Now let me ask you one more question. How many say, Pastor, I'm not 100% for sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. But I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Let me ask the question again. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. please pray for me. I won't embarrass you, call your name out. I just want to pray for you. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Just be honest. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven, but I'm absolutely sure I do not want to go to hell. Just raise your hand up long enough for me to see it. Would you be honest? Nobody should be looking but our workers. Anybody? Thank you. God bless you for your honesty. Someone else? I'm not sure. If I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Thank you. God bless you. I appreciate your hand. Someone else? Anyone else? I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Let me talk to you. Jesus loves you. If you were the only sinner on planet Earth, he would have died the same death for you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Right there in your seat, if you're willing to pray, the Lord says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Even if you didn't put your hand up, but you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, right where you are, if you bow your head, if you're tuning in right where you are, if you bow your head, say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I'm separated from you. But I believe you died, were buried, and rose again. Please forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and save me. I accept Christ as my Savior. Please let me be risen with Christ. If that's you, and you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want our staff and deacons to be looking around now. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you say, Pastor, I did. Would you slip your hand up that we can rejoice with you? Don't be embarrassed. There's a hand there. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else to my right? God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Someone else? I prayed that prayer and I meant it. I meant it. I meant it. Now listen to me. I beg of you, before you leave today, let one of our workers give you some information. Let them talk with you about the next step. We love you here at Crossroads. We're not interested in what you have. We're not trying to get anything out of you. We're trying to give some to you. Please talk to someone. If our workers have seen it, let's find them and let's reach out to them. And trust that they can avail themselves of the great help that they need spiritually. Let's remain in a spirit of prayer. Lord, we thank you for what you've done. Keep working in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.